my dick in your mouth, would that shut you up?
What? You are such an asshole!
Hey, don't blame me for the wound in your crotch. By the way, you owe us a rib. I turned and walked back to Rich and Eddie. Dude, she'll never recover from that. She'll never be the same. I've completely ruined a human being. Years of expensive therapy and costly drugs can't reverse that kind of damage. Yeah, I got an upper management role in hell reserved for me. Rich looks at me, laughs, and says to the voice recorder, damage assessment total. I got the joke the next day. 10:32. We spend the next 45 minutes talking to girls. Surprisingly, they don't seem thrilled to talk to us. 11:16. The fat girl from the first kitchen encounter comes over with reinforcements. Her backup, a small frail dork that looks like he just finished a Magic the Gathering tournament, a heinous Asian girl, and a greasy-haired fat doofus in a camouflage vest. I ask you, am I here right now? Is this really my life? 11:17. The girl starts saying something about what a horrible person I am. I just stare at her, but I'm not listening. I'm preparing myself. I am B-Rabbit. This is the final battle rap. I will win the hostile crowd. I interrupt the fat girl. Ward, I think you're being a little hard on the beaver. So is Eddie Haskell, Wally, and Miss Cleaver. To the fat guy with the greasy hair and the camo vest, I say, look out, everyone. It's a Pillsbury commando. Hey, Chunky, when was the last time you washed your hair? Does it give you more hit points to have that grease helmet? I hate to break the news, but +5 defense only counts in Dungeons & Dragons. To the ugly Asian girl. Why you no like me? You want me frip over? You no piss me off. Me find you in parking rot. You no take me arrive. To the small frail dork. I notice before I start my barrage that he has a lazy eye. Dude, look at me when I'm talking to you. Both eyes at once. Are you really this ugly or are you just playing around? Everyone be careful. This guy lurks under the stairs and tries to lick your shoes when you pass by. To the original fatty. I turn to her and then pause for effect. Why do you do this to yourself? Why do you do this to yourself? Look, I'm going to give you some advice. Leave the party, take the fucking geek squad with you, go to Denny's, order about 10 Grand Slam breakfasts, and eat your pain away. Won't be the first time, will it? 11:19. I am finished. The kitchen is totally quiet except for Eddie and Rich laughing. The four freaks are completely speechless. Everyone is just staring at me. I blurt out, what? I'm pretty sure it's what Jesus would have done. Eddie and Rich promptly remove me from the kitchen. 10:42. The absinthe is kicking in the third gear. I am feeling euphoric. Manic even. This is the weirdest drunk I've ever had. I decide it's time to get my little pencil wet. 11:54. I see a hot girl. I walk over and use one of my favorite lines. Hi. I haven't insulted you yet, have I? She laughs. I'm in. I see the large diamond and accompanying gold band on her finger. Hot girl's Mary girl. 12:06. I talk to Mary girl for a few minutes. I try to think of a good way to broach the marriage subject to find out if she wants to hook up with me. This is difficult, as my mind is a spinning miasma of absinthe. 12:07. I can't think of anything new or good, so I decide to go with my standard marriage stick, which has never worked for me, ever, not even once. So, you're married. Yeah? Is it a good marriage? 12:08. Mary girl looks at me, looks down, looks back at me, and almost breaks into tears. Mary girl begins pouring her heart out to me. I guess she didn't drink any absinthe. Because she is hot, I decide to be nice to her. 12:23. Mary girl gets to an emotional part and does actually start to cry. I suggest we go into another room so we can talk in private. Mary girl readily agrees and tells me that I am so nice. 12:45. Mary girl and I are hooking up. Holy shit, this is working. Being nice is great. Who would have ever thought? 12:47. Mary girl breaks into tears again. I console her. 12:51. Mary girl and I are hooking up again. 12:56. Mary girl breaks into tears. I console her and undo her bra with one hand. I got skills. 12:59. Mary girl and I are hooking up. 1:05. Mary girl breaks into tears. I just stare at her. I suggest to Mary girl that perhaps the best thing to do right now is to just go with what feels natural and not worry about the painful other things in her life. As proof of this, I tell her that my friends are shipping to Iraq soon, but I'm still at a party hooking up with her. Mary girl agrees with this logic. 1:06. Mary girl and I are hooking up. Clothes are starting to come off. 1:12. Mary girl breaks into tears. Again.
I don't know. I just can't do this. I'm not like this.
1:13. I get up and return to the party. Tears do not make hooking up fun. Being nice sucks. 1:15. I tell Eddie there's a girl waiting for him in the bedroom next to the guest bathroom.
Really?
I hand him a condom. Oh yeah, dude, she was asking me all about you. She's already got her clothes off and everything. Go to it. 1:16. Rich and I laugh hysterically as Eddie goes into the room. We fully expect to hear screams and Eddie running out any minute. 1:20. No Eddie. 1:25. No Eddie. 1:30. No Eddie. I want to go in and see what's going on. Hey, man, it's my pussy after all. I primed that pump. Rich convinces me to stay away. Look, John Maynard Keynes, hold off. This could be the last pussy he's getting for a while. Military women are ugly. 143. The friend who told me about the party has been dispatched to throw me and my friends out. Dude, everyone here is scared of you. Your friends are huge, and you have successfully insulted everyone. That one fucking girl you said owed you a rib or something? Dude, she was crying. Literally crying. You're like Attila the Hun. You have laid waste to this party. 146. Rich convinces me that we should just leave Eddie. Dude, he's an operator. He can find his own way home. The kid made his bones in Bosnia. I think he can find his way around Chicago. 204. Rich wants pussy. I take him to a club, even though I hate clubs. We get to a place called Rive Gauche. It should be called Lots of Douche. As soon as we walk in, some stupid shitbag idiot starts spinning glow sticks right in my face. This enrages me. I shove him down and kick him in the spine. 205. Rich bear hugs me and carries me to a VIP booth before anyone figures out what happened. 207. I pass out in the booth. 230. I wake up to see Rich trying to eat the face of some skank. She looks like something he scraped off his shoe. 236. I'm not feeling good. Mr. Absinthe is about to send me a bill for his services. 244 a.m. I make it to the toilet. I can feel the vomit coming. My intestines, without subtlety, tell me that I have a higher priority. I nearly pass out on the toilet from my colon's version of shock and awe. 247. As I'm crapping out my internal organs, Mr. Absinthe teams with Mrs. Poetic Justice to eject everything in my stomach right out of my face. 248. I lean to my left to prevent vomit from getting on my clothes. But this shift moves my ass off the side of the toilet seat and causes me to shit watery diarrhea all over the toilet seat floor. 249. I look over at the shit, catch a whiff of it, and start vomiting again, on top of the shit. 253. I stand up, clean myself, and survey the damage. It looks like a tapioca abortion. 258. I come out of the bathroom and inform the line that, quote, I am Shiva, destroyer of worlds. 304. Back at the VIP table. Rich is nearly undressed the skank and is investigating all of her orifices. His hands are never going to smell the same. 312. The skank has a friend. She's staggeringly drunk. She makes fun of the skank and tells me I am hot. Maybe clubs aren't so bad. 314. The friend tells me I'm way too sober. I agree. We go shot for shot with vodka. 340. After about three shots, she tells me, I think I'm getting really drunk. I always do stupid things when I'm drunk. Strike up the band, we have a winner. 350. Rich takes the skank to the bathroom to fuck. The friend says to me, about time. I'm surprised she didn't just go down on him at the table. That's what she did last weekend. 412. The friend does not mince words. Let's get out of here. I don't want to fuck in a club bathroom. I have standards. Well, some standards. You can't make this shit up. 415. The friend hands me her keys. I ask her, you want me to drive your car? She says, well, you're more sober than I am. This statement makes me laugh. I am so drunk, I'm not sure I could even read right now. 440. She lives far away. I don't know where I am. 445. We cannot find parking. She has me drop her off at her building and tells me to come up when I find a parking space. I decide that she's a bitch. I think she will accidentally get my dick in her ass when we are fucking doggy style. 450. I still cannot find anywhere to park. This is infuriating me. 455. I parallel park the car into a space that is too small. I try to force it in. The car gets stuck on the curb. I slam on the gas. The wheels spin until they catch and jump the car into the sidewalk, crashing it into a storefront. 456. I get out of the car. I'm inside of a donut shop. With the car. Shattered glass crunches under my feet as I investigate the damage. There are broken and fractured tables scattered across the store. The car has only a few scratches. I am in shock and completely unsure about what to do. I've never driven a car into a store before. 457. Thankfully, the donut shop is closed and empty of people. I still don't know what to do. I start laughing to myself. I look behind a counter, but the donuts are all put away. 458. I decide that while I find this funny, the car owner, the donut shop owner, and the police would not find it funny. The letters DUI leap to mind. The phrase destruction of property also appears. I decide that felony hit and run is not funny anymore. 459. I pull the car out of the donut shop, park it in a tow zone, wipe all my fingerprints from the entire car, throw the keys into some bushes, and take off running. 501. I get my cell phone and desperately call Rich. I tell his voicemail that under no circumstances should he tell the skank what my name is, who I am, or anything about me. It is Tucker luck that on the one night when I need to stay anonymous, I have someone in special forces to run my operational security. 515. I am still running. I lost count of the number of blocks I had traveled, somewhere around 30. 530. I finally get home. I am completely fucking exhausted and feel like dying. I have probably only run like 5 or 6 miles, but I know what Pheidippides must have felt like after he died running 26 miles from Marathon to Athens. My feet are bleeding, but I am safe. I pass out. Epilogue. Rich was smart enough to not only give the skank a fake name, but a fake phone number. It's standard operating procedure for him anyway.
It's been a while, I haven't seen anything in papers or police reports, so I guess I'm okay. It turned out that Eddie and Mary Girl hooked up about 4 times and then both passed out. The hostess found them the next morning, screamed. Both Eddie and Mary Girl jumped up, threw on their clothes, and tore out of the house. They were both guests of people who were invited, so neither knew anyone who actually lived in the house. When asked about how he succeeded with Mary Girl, where Tucker failed, Eddie simply smiled and said, "Dude, that was easy. I walked in and she was already naked. The hardest part was done. After that, it was just a little patience and some sweet talking. Come on, man. I run black ops for a living. This was cake." I have no idea what ultimately happened to the girl in her car. Oh well. Next time she'll stay in the car until the guy parks it. She won't take no for an answer. This occurred December 2002 and was written in March 2005. This always happens to me and it pisses me off. If I dawdle and wait too long to approach a group of girls, invariably the ugliest one calls me. I have no idea why. One girl I know told me it was because I'm attractive but not great-looking, so ugly girls think they have a chance with me. And she added that to people I don't know, I have an approachable air about me. What sweet irony. One night, my friends and I were out drinking, and we were sitting next to a table of girls. One was pretty hot, one was fuckable, and the other was awful. She was a fetal alcohol case, no question. Sunken nasal bridge, thin upper lip, a short upturned nose, and smooth skin between the nose and upper lip. All the telltale signs. She sort of looked like she'd been hit in the face with a frying pan. Before we make our move, one of the girls comes over to talk to me. Do you want to guess which one? Well, it wouldn't be a story unless it was a girl that looked like a bag of smashed assholes, now would it? As my friends talked to the fuckable ones, I tried to make it clear to Panface that I was not into her. I told her the most absurd shit, things that I was sure would offend her so badly she wouldn't even want to look at me, much less fuck me. Things like, I will never date you. I won't call you. I probably won't even talk to you afterwards unless it's tell you to get out of my apartment. I'm gonna cum in your hair. Do you know how hard it is to get cum out of your hair? For real, if I come home with you, you have to eat out my ass. And I haven't showered in 3 days. I only want to fuck you from behind. And you can't look at me when I'm fucking you either, because I might lose my heart on. I want you to wear a paper bag on your head, and then cut a hole for your mouth, and give me head with it on. Or the real kicker. No, seriously, I would probably just come on your back, and then get dressed and leave. And I'm going to break some trinket of yours on my way out, just to show my disdain for you. Come on! Even a washed-up stripper shilling for quarter tips at a topless truck stop would have told me to fuck off. Whether she thought I was joking or not, and I was, kinda, some of that shit is just over the line. What girl would keep talking to a guy that said those things? I mean, honestly, I told the girl I would only fuck her from behind because if she looked at me, I would lose my heart on. The girl has to have stopped at some point, right? Nope. She got all googly-eyed and smitten and told me I was the funniest guy she'd ever met. Doesn't it always happen this way? I would have just ended it for real, but before I could, she discovered my weakness. An open tab. I couldn't finish my drink before she'd have 2 more in front of me. Of course, this feedback loop led to disaster. The constant stream of Red Bull and Goose made me more animated and sarcastic, which made her more into me, which allowed me to tolerate her more, which inspired her to lean into me and expose her cleavage, which caused me to comment on her nice breasts, which led her to massage my crotch, which caused me to consider what she would be like in bed, and to continue this line I had to switch to doubles, and because she was paying, this was no problem. Yeah, I fucked her. Oh, but it gets better. The next morning, I wake up in a strange bed with pink silk sheets. For about a minute, I seriously wasn't sure who I had gone home with, because there was no girl in the bed. Then Panface came bounding in the room. All the awful memories came rushing back into my head. What's wrong? You look upset. Oh, Christ. I cannot believe myself. Then the rest came back to me. Last night, this girl had basically promised me the world. Breakfast, laundry, fellatio on command, everything. Well, I fucked her. I'll be damned if I don't get my side of the bargain. I thought I told you I wanted breakfast in the morning. Oh, okay. What do you want? I have eggs and bacon and pancakes, all of it. And you also promised to fillet me on command. I want that as my appetizer. Oh, man, here I go. I always do this. Whenever I hook up with some marginally attractive girl, I get pissed at myself, for obvious reasons. Then, almost as punishment, I make myself keep seeing and fucking her. Not because I'm trying to pretend that I want a relationship. I mean, I am honest with the girl. But because I feel like if I get my money's worth in other areas, then it was worth it to lose a little bit of my soul by fucking some girl I shouldn't even be seen in public with. After she went down on me, she was really good. I watched American Chopper reruns while she cooked me an awesome breakfast. An andouille sausage omelet with cheese, sautéed garlic and grilled onions, soggy bacon just like I like it, an English muffin butter just right, skim milk with ice just like I like it, and a cappuccino. She had a machine with just the right amount of froth to coffee ratio. I almost applauded her when I was done. But instead, I made her go down on me again. Over the next few weeks, it got bad. I would go over to her condo at 2 a.m. without calling, drunk out of my mind, fuck her like she owed me money, sleep all day in her bed while she was at work, and then have her make me dinner when she got home. We'd go out, and she'd buy me drinks, and then I'd make her leave before my friends or other girls would come out to meet me. When she came over to my place, she would always bring Carson's rib or Harold's chicken or some other delicacy, do my laundry, fuck and suck at command, and then leave without even spending the night. After a while, I began to feel bad. Well, sort of. I mean, ladies, let me give you some advice. You can throw all your stupid fucking chick-lit self-help, why doesn't he love me, books the fuck out. Because this is all you need to know. Men will treat you the way you let them. There is no such thing as deserving respect. You get what you demand from people. Let a guy fuck you in the ass, come on your back, drink all your beer, and then leave, and he'll do it. But if you demand respect, he either will respect you or he won't associate with you. It really is that simple. Or you can just act like Panface and turn out the same way. The turning point for me, the exact moment I knew I had to cut the charade off and move on, was the day she showed up at my place in a trench coat. I was in my standard position, sitting on the couch, watching Jerry Springer in gym clothes with my hand down my pants. She kind of stood there smiling at me, and so I looked up. What are you doing? It's 75 degrees outside. At that, she dropped her trench coat to reveal a tight white t-shirt and panties. Printed on them, she had these t-shirts made specially. The shirt said Tucker Max's tits, and the panties said Tucker Max's pussy. Had I been 17, I would have thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. At 27, I could only see the imminent and now unavoidable disaster that was going to result from this girl falling in love with me. Of course, I still slept with her. But after that, I stopped calling her, and I'm pretty sure that as a result, she went batshit crazy and moved back to wherever she was from. I'm not really sure. I routinely find 50 missed calls on my cell phone from her and 30 emails in my inbox, so I blocked her email address and changed my phone number. I'm gonna leave that mess for the beta males. The sex stories. These stories occurred various times between 2000 and 2005, and were written in May 2005. The pen may be stronger than the sword, but I have found that the vagina is stronger than both. No matter what happens to me, no matter how many girls vomit on me or shit on me or fuck me over, I keep hooking up with all kinds of women, seemingly without regard for the repercussions. These are some of my shorter vignettes involving sex that don't fit into any larger stories. The first one is, do you want fries with that? While I lived in San Francisco, I met a girl out at some dot-com party. She was cute, the lights were low, the liquor was free, I was horny. Always a happy confluence of circumstances to get laid. We ended up back at her place in South Market District of San Francisco. I lived in Mountain View at the time, which is 40 minutes south by car, so this was convenient to me. We start kissing, fumbling with buttons and hooks and straps, things start coming off, when she suddenly pulls back and stops me. Before we go any further, I have to tell you something. Okay. I just got over genital warts. I just stare at her blankly. Oh, this always happens. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you just say? This always happens. I used to have genital warts, but they're gone now. HPV is usually not transmittable if there isn't a breakout and you use a condom. You don't really have to worry about anything, but I thought that I should probably tell you. I give her another prolonged, blank, unregistering stare. You were going to use a condom anyway. You won't get them. It's okay. I start putting my clothes back on. What's the best way to get back to the interstate from here? In retrospect, I kind of feel bad. I probably have every STD known to man. If this poor girl was honest with me, and I totally dissed her. She courageously exposed part of her soul to me, and I callously stomped on it. Oh well, that's what she gets for wanting to fuck Tucker Max. Next story is bros before hoes. When I was in NYC to finalize the deal for this book, I met some friends out for drinks and invited a few girls to go along that had emailed me. One girl in particular, Ho, took a liking to my friend Credit and flirted with him all night. This girl was obviously playing the girlfriend game and looking at Credit as potential boyfriend material. She was nice, a bit coy, not overly aggressive, laughed at all his jokes, but instead of hooking up with him, she only gave him her number. Credit left early because he had to get up for work the next morning, but this girl wanted to go out drinking more, so she took me and my friend Junior with her. Not even two drinks into the next bar, she's all over me. Hands on my crotch, seductive looks, the entire slut repertoire. I ignore her, instead paying attention to my vodka clubs, but this only makes her more into me. Junior lives in Connecticut, we accidentally missed the last train out of the city. So Ho politely invited us to stay at her place. When we got there, she gave Junior the couch and told me I could sleep on the floor in her room. Right. Not even 2 minutes after she turned out the lights, I was in her bed and we were tearing the clothes off each other. We both get naked and I slide it in. Things are going great when she stops and gets all serious. Wait, I don't know if we should do this. Why? Well, I don't want to ruin things with your friend Credit. Maybe it's a bit late for that. No, you have to promise not to say anything. Promise. After being a lying asshole during my younger years and realizing how awful it is, both for me and the girl, it is now a rock-solid policy of mine to never ever lie to a girl. But sometimes an immediate biological urge forces me into situations where I have to break the rule. Okay, fine. Let's just keep going. I'm not finished yet. Of course I ended up telling Credit. I mean, come on. When I'm mid-coitus, A girl could extract the promise from me to trade my firstborn for a fucking Twix bar. But I had to tell him. God forbid if he dated this girl, fell in love, and got married to her. What a shitty wedding that would be. The next story is Tucker goes a little booty call crazy. I've been saying for years that phone companies should invent a phone with a breathalyzer attached. I cannot tell you how many times I have made awful, terrible drunk dials and not even remembered it the next day. But one time stands out from the rest. I was solidly Tucker Max drunk after a long Friday night bar hopping, and I came home alone around 2 a.m. I hadn't fucked for like 4 days, a serious dry spell for me. So I started scrolling through my phone, calling every female name I could come across. Janet, come over, I'm horny. Tucker, I live in D.C. So? You're in Chicago. Oh. Do you know any girls in Chicago who want to come over? Next girl. Krista, come over. Tucker, it's late. My horniness is not relegated to business hours, woman. Get over here. I don't know. I said do it! Well, maybe. I don't really recall the amount of time I spent on the phone or even how many girls I called. But I do remember having the distinct impression that I was shit out of luck. I relegated myself to the couch to pass out while watching reruns of The Shield. When all of a sudden there was a knock on the door. It was an irregular fuck buddy of mine, Sandra. Sweet, I guess I struck gold. She comes in and she wants a beer, so I tell her where the fridge is. We kind of start making out on the sofa a little, and then there's another knock on the door. Who the fuck is at my door at 3 a.m.? Uh-oh. It's another booty call of mine, Liz. So do you want a beer too? Both of the girls just kind of stood there, alternately staring at each other and at me. There is a way to turn the situation from disaster to triumph, and even though it's a long shot, the only way you can ever win at the table is to throw the dice. So, Liz, Sandra's kind of into girls, and I know you've always wanted to experiment. What do you say? You know that noise that girls make when they're so pissed they can't even form words? It's sort of a cross between an and a reptilian hiss? Yeah, she made that noise, turned on her heels, and stormed out. Oh well, at least Sandra was still there, right? I turned to her, and she was setting her beer down and reaching for her purse. Time to act quick. No, wait, honey, you don't have to go. I didn't even invite her over. She's some psycho who... I was interrupted by some unidentified noise at the bottom of my stairs. It sounded like two girls talking to each other, followed by footsteps, and capped off with the appearance of Krista at my still open door. Oh, boy. I wish I could tell some story about how I turned this awful situation into some amazing foursome, but since I have a policy to tell only true stories, I can't. Let's just say it did not end well. Things were thrown, curses hurled, none of the three ever came over again, and I had to recruit a whole new stable of booty calls. Maybe a better man than me could have turned that night into something out of Penthouse Letters, but all I did was end up with my dick in my hand and a mess in my apartment. The next story is Toxic Shock. While I was in law school, I dated a girl named Vicky. No, a total blonde southern girl. Real hot, really sweet, and really stupid. When we'd hang out with my law school friend, she'd be very quiet and whisper things to me like, I'm afraid to talk to Golden Boy. He uses such big words. She used Depo-Provera as her birth control, and though it was effective at keeping her from polluting the world with little Tuckers, it caused her to spot occasionally. And she told me this, and it usually wasn't a problem. One night we came home drunk and proceeded to fuck the shit out of each other. Sex with Vicky was awesome because she was one of those girls who can come with virtually no effort through regular sex. Every minute or two, she would have an orgasm. I love this not because she got off so much, but because I could be ruthlessly selfish in bed and it didn't matter. As long as I lasted more than a minute, everything took care of itself. This bout of drunk sex started off the same as the others. I humped and pumped and she screamed and came, but after a short time my dick started to hurt. I kept pumping away, she kept coming, and the pain kept getting worse and worse. It was a weird moment. Think about what goes through your mind when you're fucking. Now mix those thoughts with flashes of intense grinding pain on your penis. This greatly confused my drunk brain, but I still plowed on, determined not to let anything, not even obvious and searing pain, prevent me from reaching the ultimate goal of virtually everything I do in life, my personal satisfaction. I concentrated and was able to pinpoint the actual location of the pain. It felt like the head of my penis was scraping up against something hard and abrasive. I was drunk, so my first thought was that my dick was so big it was hitting her cervix and scraping up against that. As if her cervix was made of sandpaper or something. Yes, I can be that stupid when I'm drunk and fucking. I tried to fuck through the pain. I really tried to convince myself that everything was okay, but when my eyes started tearing up from the agony, I had to stop. Baby, something is wrong with your vagina. She looked confused and kind of hurt. What do you mean? My penis was still penetrating her, so I tried to be diplomatic in my explanation. Bitch, my fucking dick hurts. Something is fucked up with your fucking pussy. She gets up and goes into the bathroom, and I examine my penis. There is a bright red circular area to the right of my urethra. Almost all the skin on the right side of the head has been stripped off. I delicately touch the red throbbing sore, and it burns. I have played many football games on AstroTurf, and I recognize exactly what this is. Turf burn. How the fuck do I have fucking turf burn on my dick? What the fuck? I am confused and pissed off. I mean, seriously, how do you get goddamn turf burn on your dick? I hear the bathroom door open, and I stand up and prepare to yell at Vicky. And then I see her. She's crying hysterically, tears streaming down her face, holding something in her hand. Her eyes meet mine. She busts out an even louder wail, and I look into her hand. I don't really recognize what it is until she says, "I'm so sorry. I totally forgot I had it in." In her hand was a reddish-brown, smashed-up Tampax. Vicky had put one in before we went out drinking, and she got so drunk she forgot to take it out before we had sex. This was what my dickhead was rubbing against for 50 minutes of agony. A fucking tampon. As big of an asshole as I am, I'm still a sucker for a hot crying girl, so I gave Vicky a hug and told her everything was okay. Then she stopped crying and I cut her throat. Nah, I'm just kidding. But true to form for turf burns, I did wake up the next morning with a yellowish-brown scab on my dick, which developed into a small scar that you can still see to this day, if you're a hot girl. The next story is what's grosser than gross. This girl I was kind of seeing worked in a financial services office. On Friday, she had the office all to herself, and once I went in to see her, I tried to get her to fuck me on her boss's desk, but that was a no-go. On the conference table, still a no-go. In the kitchenette, still a no-go. I can't figure out what her problem is, because we'd had sex plenty of times before, so I tried being nice and start making out. I put my hands down her pants and massage her clit, and she likes it at first, but then squirms away. No, not now. Getting frustrated, I take my finger, which I can feel is covered with her pussy juice, and rub it across her lips, just intending to tease her. Oh, shit. Right across her lips and teeth is a huge red stain. Now it makes sense. Are you in the rag? Is that why you won't hook up? Yeah, I hate to say it. It's embarrassing. How'd you know? I just kind of raised my eyebrows, and she licked her lips. And I wish I had a camera to record the look of shock and embarrassment as she tasted the blood on her tongue. She immediately ran off to the bathroom. I was washing my hands in the kitchenette when she rushed back in. You aren't going to write about this, are you? No. Next story is fucked up pillow talk. These are some funny quotes or bits of dialogue that are sexually related or happened while I was in bed, but didn't occur in the middle of a larger story. This happened while I was seeing a girl for 2 weeks. She asked me, "Do you love me?" And I said, "I don't understand the question." One girl who had obvious issues with sex during foreplay said, "Okay, I want you to take your wee-wee and put it on my dirty spot." "What did you just say?" "Take your wee-wee and put it on my dirty spot." What is this, Sesame Street foreplay? This is from a girl who, for some reason, thought we were exclusive. She didn't get the idea from me. "Why didn't you shave? You know I hate stubble." "Oh, sorry, I forgot you were the one who liked me to be shaven." "I'm the one who likes you to be shaven? How many girls are you fucking?" Maybe we haven't met. My name is Tucker Max. You've seen my website. In fact, that's how we met. A similar exchange with a different girl that nearly ended the fuck buddy relationship. I asked her, "Do you like girls?" "You ask me that every time I see you." I forget who answers yes and who answers no. "I don't know why I keep fucking you. Because I'm awesome and you can't help yourself? You know, I used to have self-esteem before I met you." That's what they all say. 5 minutes later with the same girl. "So what's your favorite sexual technique?" "Well, I don't know. Probably where I pretend like she isn't there, get off as fast as possible, and then she does my laundry, cleans my apartment, and leaves." This one was with a total random I picked up at a grocery store. We went home, and with her groceries still in the car, start hooking up. Before we begin sex, she lets this out. "Don't worry about putting a condom on. I'm already pregnant." This one was really depressing. I wish the girl had told me beforehand. "You're the first girl I've slept with since I was raped. Thanks for being gentle." I was fucking this one girl with music on. I didn't put anything on intentionally. It was just some mix CD or whatever I happened to have in. We were mid-coitus, and a ludicrous song comes on. "Can you please change the song?" "What? Why?" "Well, I fucked one of Luda's roadies to get backstage, but I never even got to meet him. I'm kind of bitter." With a girl whose friend I had fucked. "You weren't anywhere near as good as Jamie said you were." "Yeah, well, with her I actually tried. I liked her." The next story is Miss Deaf Australia. The University of Chicago requires that students take a year of foreign language in order to graduate, so I took American Sign Language. Our teacher got to like our class, so she invited us to some deaf events in Chicago. The first one we went to was a dance at a bar with some deaf organization and ran out. We get there a little late, and when we walked in the foyer, even though I could hear the music, I couldn't hear any voices, so I thought the place would be empty. Instead, the place filled with like 100 deaf people. I heard nothing except the clink of glasses and some random grunting. But everyone was furiously signing to each other. It was kind of spooky. I was introduced to a girl who had just won the Miss Deaf Australia pageant. She was really pretty and thought that my retarded 4th grade sign language ability was cute. After about 20 minutes of trying to sign and get frustrated, I asked her to dance, figuring I had to be better at that than her. After all, she can't even hear the music, right? That was another mistake. She was an awesome dancer. The deaf people picked this club because it had a great sound system, and they danced by feeling the music. Most of them are really good, way better than me. Well, so much for that idea. She ended up liking me anyway, despite the fact I couldn't sign or dance. And we went on a few dates and ended up having sex. I kind of start slow with her, but I can tell almost immediately she's freaky, so I get freaky with her. She's kind of groaning a little, but nothing all that usual, until she starts to come. She lets out the most ridiculous primal grunt I've ever heard. I got so scared I almost went limp. You have not heard a girl scream during sex until you've heard a deaf girl come. It was literally like a cross between a retard scream and the noise a horse makes when it's being slaughtered. I have never heard a more guttural expression of climax in my life. Sex with her was great, but the rest of the relationship kind of sucked. Not being able to communicate is cute at first, but it gets real annoying when all you want to do is stand and watch Sopranos, but your TV doesn't have subtitles and the deaf girl gets bored. One instance made it clear we had to break up. We were in my apartment having sex, and it was a particularly intense session, when all of a sudden there was a loud knock at the door. I got dressed and opened the door to find a cop standing there. The cop says, "Sir, please step back. We can hear the screaming and reasonably there's a criminal activity going on here." The naked deaf girl in my bedroom was all it took to send the cops out of my apartment in tears from laughing so hard. The Chili Pepper hookup incident. When and where I met this girl is not important. Why I hooked up with her and what happened the next morning is not even worthy of a story. What she looks like is immaterial, but if you care, she looks a lot like the redheaded daughter in 6 Feet Under. All you need to know for this story are three things. I was at a house party in Chicago that was catered by a Mexican restaurant. I was very drunk at this party, and at one point, I ate several of those super hot jalapeno peppers that Mexican restaurants like to serve, the kind that aren't cut up and pickled. And it was at this party that I met the girl who eventually came back to my place with me. Once at my place, we eventually got down to business. We started playing with the vagina, fingering her and whatnot, when all of a sudden, she abruptly stopped me, pulled my hand away from her crotch, and asked, "Did you eat any of those hot peppers tonight?" "Yeah, I had a few." "Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my God, no. Holy shit, it's burning!" She jumped out of my bed, ran into my bathroom, and immediately got into the shower. I was still very drunk, so this confused me. I walked to the door and yelled through it, "Are you okay? What's wrong?" She yelled back over the din of the water, "Did you wash your hands after you ate those peppers?" At this, I figured out what the problem was and immediately erupted in hysterical laughter. I was laughing so hard I could hardly breathe. I've had my crotch on fire from capsaicin before and calmed down a bit, though I was still laughing. She yelled through the door, "Shut up, this isn't funny, you jerk. This better not show up in a book." The last story is friendly fire. Karma being the bitch that she is, my activities always eventually catch up to me. The summer before I started law school, I was seeing a girl in Miami named Courtney. She was incredibly hot. One of those girls you have a physical reaction to as soon as you see her. One time we were fucking doggy style, incredible sex, and right as I was about to come, I pulled back and my dick came out. I didn't realize it, and as I thrust forward again, instead of my penis going back in her vagina, my dick stuck in her ass crack. Not into her asshole, but sort of between her crack, between her butt cheeks, like a hot dog in a bun, sort of. I was leaning over her, my face directly above the back of her head, and I looked down at my dick right as I hit climax, and shot nut into my own eye. A direct hit right into my wide open eye. I didn't even see it coming, literally. Almost immediately, I developed a personal appreciation for how much cum stings. That shit burned. It took me a minute to wash it out, but the sting and the redness stayed for a good 4 to 5 hours. Fuck you, karma. Tucker has a moment of reflection, ends poorly. This story occurred in April 2003 and was written in July 2004. One random Friday, I was sitting in my Chicago apartment drinking a beer and watching TV. Around 7, my phone rang. It was Karen, one of my booty calls at the time. It was early, so I was kind of confused. We normally never called each other until at least midnight, even on weekdays. "What's up, you drunk already?" "Haha, no, baby. What are you up to right now?" "Nothing, just watching Morimoto make some crazy mushroom creme brulee. It's Battle Porcini on Iron Chef." Okay, well, I'm gonna go on some silly blind date tonight that my friend set me on, but I was wondering if I could swing by your place and get a protein shake first." "Very nice." Karen is obviously making an attempt to move up from irregular booty call to head dick sucker. "Yeah, sure. Just come on by, I'll be here." "Cool, I'll see you soon." "Hey, baby, bring some beer." Not even 10 minutes later, she rolled into my place with a 12-pack of Miller Lite. Karen's gonna have to learn the difference between good beer and watered-down horse piss if she wants to move up in my whole hierarchy. She got right down to business because her date started in less than 30 minutes. I kept watching Iron Chef because, come on, Morimoto is a genius. Plus, I've already seen the show Karen was putting on. It's really good, but it's been in syndication for months. You don't really need to pay attention until the ending. I wasn't supposed to meet my friends until 10, so when she left around 8, I just kept drinking at my place. I started thinking about how fucking cool it was that a girl coming over to my place to suck me off before she went on a date. I mean, I may not be Hugh Hefner, but I doubt many guys pull something like that off on a regular basis. Then I started feeling bad for her date. This poor schmuck had no idea that the girl whose chair he was pulling out and buying dinner for and being nice to had her lips wrapped around my cock not even an hour earlier. God forbid if this poor dude kisses her goodnight. I wonder if it'll cross his mind that even with beer breath, her mouth shouldn't taste that salty. But in a way, I didn't feel that bad for him. You can't make a hoe into a housewife, and when you take one out on a date, you aren't helping your chances. I guess some guys just never learn. Of course, he had no idea what she was like. After all, that was the whole point of the blind date. I guess it just goes to show, you never really can tell. Oh, shit. How many girls have done this to me? I shot up from the couch in shock, spilling beer all over myself. Has this ever happened to me? Have I ever been the sucker that took a girl out after she bought beer for another guy and then blew him? Oh, my God. It has to have happened to me. Has to. I've been out with so many women, there's just no way this hasn't happened to me. And considering the moral turpitude of many of the girls I've hooked up with, suspect at best, wretched prostitute at worst, it's damn near certain I've been that guy at least once. I mean, if Karen does this for me, why not for other guys too? I mean, I'm pretty fucking cool, but there are other cool guys in the world besides me. Or, you know, so my friends tell me. Plus, it's not like I've always known what I now know about women. I could easily have been the sucker many times in the past. And why stop at dick sucking? How many girls have I slept with that were with other guys the same day as me? Or went from another guy right to me, without even cleaning up? I wouldn't even know, would I? How? How the fuck would I know? There's no way I could tell, short of smelling the semen on her breath. Would I even smell it? Smell it? What about taste it? Oh, dear merciful God. Please tell me I haven't tasted it. I need to go vomit. My entire worldview was immediately and permanently altered. It was like the first time you turn on a blacklight in a hotel room and see cum stains covering every surface. For better or worse, your world is never the same. I stomped around my apartment for 2 hours until I met my friends out. I explained the whole situation to them, and of course they laughed, made fun of me, and told me to get over it. I wasn't having it. How can you guys be so cavalier about this? I can't be hooking up with seconds the same day. That's for losers and douchebags, not Tucker Max. Apparently not, Sloppy Joe. Yeah, aren't you the fucking comedian? My friend said, Tucker, haven't you done this to girls before? You know, fucked one in the morning and then gone out and picked another one up and fucked her? So what? That's different. How? Because it's me! Wait, didn't you just get your dick sucked tonight, and now you're out trying to get laid? Fuck you! Dude, it's happened to all of us. We've all done it to others. Women are women, men are men. This happens to everyone. Fuck that! I am Tucker Max! I am better than all of you! This shit does not happen to me! Oh man, is it gonna be one of those nights? I drank and drank and drank, yet I was still unable to drown the thought that I'd been totally played by multiple women, and I didn't even know which ones had done it to me. That might have been the worst part. Not knowing. Well, that and the prospect that I have at some point kissed a girl who had semen caked to her teeth from 45 minutes ago. I know of at least one ex-girlfriend that cheated on me, but we were long distance and I fucked more than Caligula when I was dating her, so I wasn't really pissed about that. What about those girls I thought were all wrapped up in me? How many of them fucked other people behind my back? What also fucked me up was that women were doing the same thing to me that I was doing to them, except I didn't even know they were doing it. For the entirety of my life up to that point, I thought I had the upper hand, that I was the player and not the playee, when in fact, I was possibly just another chump. The illusion of control was shattered. Needless to say, this little revelation colored my perspective for the rest of the night. If by colored my perspective, I mean totally and irreversibly fucked me up beyond all repair. Sometimes, too much to drink is still not enough. I needed therapy to bury my anxiety, and alcohol was going to be my counselor. Yes, friends, this was going to be one of those nights. At the first bar, I went around quizzing girls about how often this sort of shit happens. I said, ladies, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sucked off one guy, then went out on a date with another guy right after that? Like, the same night? Or fucked another guy right after you blew a different guy but without telling the second one? Excuse me? Don't play coy with me. As you can imagine, this may be very popular with the ladies. At bar two, I ordered at least 3 rounds of shots in the first 10 minutes. I kept making toasts like this one. Roses are red, violets are blue, that bitch gave me head, and some other guy too. My toast to cuckoldry got the attention of a group of girls, and they came over to talk to us. My friends, who had not yet consigned all the women of Earth to a fiery death and eternal damnation, made up a story about me to explain my behavior. They told the girls that I had just broken up with my girlfriend who I was in love with, and to not pay any attention to anything I said. It was my first night out, and I was bitter and mean. I helped enforce this lie with the toast I gave the next round of shots. The shot feels so good, the shot feels so right. I can't believe she blew me and another guy tonight. To drown my pain, I bought this drink at the store, because let's face it, all women are whores. Greased by the bullshit story that I had been dumped, the girls actually thought it was funny. One of them tried to console me by switching the subject to music. I told her I was a country music fan, which is not even remotely true. Really? I like to make up my own lyrics to country music. Like, you know that one song, Let's Get Drunk and Screw? I like to pretend the lyrics are Let's Wait in Line for Shoes. I stare at her blankly for a good 10 seconds. She keeps trying to be cheery. Isn't that funny? You are making me stupider.
What?
I bet you sucked Miles a dick. She immediately turned away and walked off and stuttered,
You're a jerk.
Have another shot? Don't mind if I do.
That pretty much sealed our fate at bar two. Bar three presented some ample targets, but I was still too head-fucked to do anything, so my friends planted me at a table and went looking for girls on their own. After about 3 seconds, I got bored and started wandering around. I snatched some pink drink off the bar as the girl who owned it looked the other way, took a sip, and immediately spit it out. A girl on the other side of me used this to initiate conversation.
Was that gross?
Yeah, it tastes like ass.
I kinda like ass.
What's your name?
Had it been any other night, I would have turned this little gym into a tongue up my ass crack. Not tonight.
Tonight it was only a matter of time before I fucked it up. So, be honest. Would you ever eat out one guy's ass and then kiss another guy the same day? And I'm spent. My friends were doing well with this one group of girls and looked to be on the way to hookup victory, until I decided that I wanted to hear the sound of breaking glass and we all got kicked out. We ended up going to a late night club. When we got there, I was so drunk the bouncer almost didn't let me in. My last clear memory is my friend grabbing me at the bar after I ordered a double something and trying to calm me down. Dude, you've had too much to drink. This is bordering on dangerous. The only dangerous amount is none!
How many drinks did you have at the last place?
You're counting my drinks. If you want to act like my liver account, then you can pay the fucking bill too.
I pay your bar tabs anyway! I'm famous! Women can't do this to me!
They sat me in a corner and went back out on the prowl. One or two more drinks later, I decided that I was going to dance. Completely immersed in my indignant self-pity on the dance floor, I found my savior. In the corner of the club, dancing alone, I found the person that I could trust. I found my one. My soulmate. The person who would never betray me and who would love me forever and never fuck anyone else behind my back without telling me. This was the most gorgeous person I had ever seen. Piercing blue eyes and sandy blonde hair. Great body. Deep, penetrating stare that revealed the wisdom and understanding beyond the average person. Great charisma. Someone who would hold me. And we had immediate chemistry. We danced for an hour, exchanging seductive looks, coyly flirting, seductively whispering sweet nothings at each other. Every smile was met with a smile, every caress with an equal response. I finally found someone to fall in love with. I was too drunk to realize this at the time, but my friends were watching me the whole time. And all they saw was me dancing in front of a huge mirror. By myself. No one else within 10 feet of me. Let me emphasize. I was so drunk, I was dancing with myself in the mirror. For an hour. With no one near me. Not only did I never once realize it, the only thing I remembered the next morning from that club was thinking that I'd fallen in love. For real, it took several of them to convince me that I was dancing alone and not with the most amazing girl I'd ever met. My friends also told me that later, when the lights came on, indicating closing time, I staggered out of the club into the street, ran away from them, and the last sight of me was me careening down the boulevard, bouncing off storefronts and parked cars, yelling, If you want to go on a date with me, you cannot flay anyone else for at least 24 hours beforehand. Do you hear me? And I want you to shower, too. I have standards. You have to douche. If the glove fits, the girl is a whore. Now that is Tucker Max drunk. But unfortunately, Tucker Max drunk is not free. At some point, the bill comes due. How expensive is it? Let's tally the total. You know it's been a really hard night when you wake up dehydrated and dizzy and don't know where you are and have no memory how you got there. It is only when waking from a truly Tucker Max drunk night that you are completely dehydrated, too dizzy to stand, and though you don't know your exact location or how you got there, you do realize that you've just woken up outside in a public park with a stray dog licking your face. Raise your hand if you've ever had that happen to you. I climbed my way to a park bench, pulled myself up onto it, and saw a huge 10-man statue. For a split second, I honestly thought I'd died and gone to hell, and it was sponsored by Warner Brothers. That was a bit of a shock, because I always thought Disney would rule hell. Then I remembered, I lived by a park called Oz Park, though until that moment, it had not occurred to me where it got its name. Encouraged by the fact that I was close to my apartment, I started walking. After falling a few times and finally getting that damn dog to stop following me, I found Halstead and followed it back to my apartment. I was so concerned with keeping my balance and navigating correctly, I didn't really notice until I got home that my face and scalp were itching something terrible. I was reaching up to discover the source of this itch as I stumbled in my door. My roommate took one look at me, audibly gasped, and got that oh my god face I've seen so many times. He usually lets out a laugh when he sees the after effects of one of my binges, but this time he was so shocked he could only cover his mouth and utter, Go look in the mirror. I felt my face, and there was definitely something sticky and hard crusted onto it. Thinking it was possibly blood and I had sustained a head injury, I rushed in the bathroom, and there in the mirror was rock bottom. The love of my life stared back at me with a face covered in hardened, crusted vomit. Yellow and brown bile was matted to my hair, chunks were in my eyebrows and ears, my cheek and neck had pieces of grass stuck in the vomit crust. I was a mess. I looked like some sort of botched special effect. So much for being too good for a whore's sloppy seconds. But the piece de resistance lay on top of my head, at the edge of the crusted vomit.
precariously stuck to the vomit in my hair. A small, dry dog turd. Postscript. The repercussions that night did not end there. First off, my now ex-roommate will call me shithead the rest of my life and I deserve it. Second, I will never look at women the same way. Ever. This event, combined with the story my friend told me after that, about his ex-girlfriend letting herself get gangbanged by Mexicans in front of him to get even for him cheating on her, totally ruined me. Now, every time I look at or talk to a woman, I can't help but think to myself, has she already sucked a dick today? How recent was her last migrant worker gangbang? Granted, I've done horrible stuff also, but anyone in the world can read this book and know what I've done. It's the not knowing that really messes with me. What fucks me up is to think that girls I'm casually dating are fucking around on me, and not even just on other days, but right before they see me. I don't really go on dates anymore since I learned that you don't need to spend money to get pussy, but when I did, I wonder how many girls came out with sperm breath. And how many of those did I kiss? And even now I wonder how many women have I met out at a bar who fucked a guy before going out and then went home with me. I talked to all my female friends about this, and the response was varied. The dumb ones were like, oh, can I come over and suck you off too? Yes, you may. And bring beer. The naive ones were like, a girl came over and sucked your dick before a date? No girl does that. Right. And you've never had a boyfriend cheat on you. Go back to reading books you buy at the grocery store and leave reality to the rest of us. I finally got some usable feedback from my smart female friends. Most of them were like, this is news to you? That there are women who do what you do? Tucker, I thought you were smarter than this. Yeah, thanks for making me feel better. One friend in particular summed it up. She said, at least you had this realization. Most guys go through life being blissfully ignorant. My girlfriends who juggle a lot of guys are the ones who don't give off any slutty vibes. Which is how they totally get away with it. Every guy they're with thinks they've got the perfect situation. A sweet girl who comes over at midnight once or twice a week because that's all she wants. They don't understand that she's got the same perfect arrangement with four other guys. I tried to explain that giving me head was so good the woman actually wanted to do it. I didn't care about getting anything back. But she just laughed. Not that sucking my dick is some chore, but the idea that any guy is so much better than other guys that he is above cuckoldry is ridiculous. Believe me, guys, no matter how good you are, some girl has played you, and you probably didn't even realize it. Don't think about this for too long, fellas, or it will drive you nuts. I fixed that internet for a whole night and ended up dancing with myself in a mirror for an hour and then woke up in a public park with vomit crusted in my face and dog shit stuck to my head. You can trust me on this. Just move on. The dog vomit story. The story occurred April 2005 and was written in April 2005. I was in Dallas visiting my cousin Josh, and we went to a place called The Corner to meet a group of girls who had been emailing me. This was Josh's first experience dealing with my website groupies, and even though he understands what I do in the abstract, he can't fathom that I get laid this way. He asked, so let me get this straight. Girls email you, then meet you out, and then have sex with you? Yeah, dude, lots of them. Why? I don't know. I'm awesome. Some women are sluts. Who knows? Tucker, all the women in Dallas are sluts. Well, God bless them, everyone. The girl who emailed me, Lindsay, shows up. She's even better looking than her pics. Blonde shoulder-length hair, cute button nose, that sexy Texas twang, light eyes. She's a total southern hottie. Her four other friends range from really cute to what happened to her face. So predictably, I focus all my attention on Lindsay. Tucker luck being what it is, my cousin not only has a girlfriend, but is also a great wingman. So he is happy to handle the group, leaving my flank protected and me free to talk to the hot girl. About 5 minutes into the conversation, she drops this. Can we just be friends? What do you mean? Well, I don't want you to think I'm just here to have sex with you. When did I bring up the subject of sex? Well, you didn't, but, well, you know. Baby, don't sweat things like that. Let's just hang out and have fun. Everything will work itself out. Now, let me translate that conversation from game speak to common English. Lindsay says, I want to fuck you, but I don't want to feel like a slut when I do. I respond, I won't make you feel like a slut, even if you act like one. Her answer, good, because even though I want to fuck you, I want you to run a game on me first. You have to earn it. My response, relax. I have everything under control. Now, even though the odds were good that Lindsay was going to fuck me, I still had to play my cards right. I do know women as a group very well, but I don't ever claim to completely know any one individual. As soon as you think you have women totally figured out, that's when you walk in on her being triple-teamed by yard workers. Lindsay did some of my work for me by getting really drunk. I was drinking Goose and Red Bull doubles, and she was lapping me. Then, out of nowhere, she brought up my number of sexual partners. How many girls have you been with? I never answer that question. That answer never leads to anything good. I've only been with two people. I openly laughed in her face. Side note, she's 24. It's true. Okay, whatever. It is true. Baby, I don't really care. Let me explain something to you that I've learned about women. They lie. A lot. Especially about that. I'm not lying. Okay, I believe you. It doesn't really matter either way. We're just friends. Oh, stop it. Again, I'll translate that from game speak to common English. Lindsay, ask me if I'm a slut. No. I was testing you to see if you'll treat me like a slut for fucking you the first night we meet. I know. Now I'll show you how edgy I am. You passed the test, and I like your edginess. As the night went on, she got hammered. Housed to the point where she was stumbling into people at the bar and speaking in tongues on her cell phone. Her friends were telling me that this was the drunkest they'd ever seen her. Not to be outdone by a small girl, I did shots with half the bar until I was drunk as, well, Tucker Max. But just being drunk and foolish wasn't enough for Lindsay and me, so we started making out. Yeah, we were that drunk couple that everyone hates, the ones eating each other's faces at the bar. She kind of stops and pulls me aside. I never do this. I cannot believe I got this drunk. You ready to go home? Yeah, that's a good idea. You obviously can't drive, baby. Do you want me to call you a taxi or get your friends? No, are you sober? You can drive me home. I live just like a mile away. The translation? I want to fuck you, but I need to get drunk as an excuse, so I can explain this away when I sober up. Do you want to back out now? We don't have to do this. I know, but I want to fuck you. Let's go. I drove her home and was immediately met at the door by her ankle-biting yippy dog. I normally love dogs, with the notable exceptions being those brain-dead little rat dogs that are fashionable with the I want to be Paris Hilton crowd, and this was one of those. Hey, Tucker, how are you? Your dog's name is Tucker? I've had him for a year, way before I saw your site. We eventually get down to business and start fucking. I'm not even inside her for a minute when she stops me. Okay, no big deal. Sometimes girls just need time or whatever. We start fucking again, and she stops me again. I ask her, are you okay, baby? Is everything all right? Yeah, it's fine. So I start fucking her again, and she stops me again. All right, look, honey, either shit or get off the pot. If you don't want to do this, that's totally fine. I have no problem respecting that decision. I'll even leave if you want me to. But you need to decide one way or the other so I know what to do, because this game has to end. I only start and stop when I'm in traffic. She decides that she does, in fact, want to have sex, so we start fucking. And to her credit, she was really good in bed and managed me well. Without direction, I'm selfish and dominant, but she knew what she was doing and was able to mesh her desires with my style. We finished and I turned to her. So, how many people have you slept with? Two. Yeah, you don't lie about that. No, I meant three. I wasn't counting you. What are you, an Enron accountant? Jerk. She goes into the bathroom to do whatever it is that women do after sex. I had been feeling really queasy during sex, but had managed to force it down until I came. I couldn't hold it any longer. I had to vomit. And this wasn't going to be normal vomit. This was make your eyes water, burn your sinuses, I want to die vomit. Thank you, tequila shots. Then I panicked. Where was I going to vomit? She was in the bathroom. There was no porch. I've tried to open the window, but there was a screen on. That's a no-go. I've tried vomiting through screens before. It doesn't work. Suddenly, I had an epiphany. Still laying on her bed, I pushed it away from the wall, hung my head between the wall and mattress, and blew all over the place. I couldn't have thrown a bucket of vomit on her floor any harder. Thankfully, her room is carpeted, so there was no splashing and minimal running. By the time she came out of the bathroom, I had moved the bed back and recovered, so we fucked again. Thankfully, she was drunk and didn't notice my rancid vomit breath. Or maybe she did and didn't mention it. The sex the second time was even better. But then, in the middle of us fucking, I hear this weird slurping noise. At first, I think maybe something is wrong with her pussy, so I stop for a second. But the noise keeps going. Then I hear a jingle associated with it. It sounds like when my dog wants to go out. I think her dog is under the bed eating. Holy shit, the dog is eating my puke. What the fuck do I do now? I can't get up and stop the dog, because then I have to admit I threw up all over her floor and didn't clean it up or tell her. The only solution I can arrive at is to kind of push myself up and down on the bed, thinking maybe the dog will get the picture. The slurping stops and the jingling increases. Lindsay says, Tucker, what are you doing under there? Oh, I think he's licking himself. That dog is crazy. The dog takes maybe a 3-second break, and I hear the slurping again. This is fucking great. Now I am simultaneously trying to suppress my laughter, push the thought of the dog eating vomit out of my mind so I can avoid getting sick on top of her, and maintain my erection and continue fucking. Seriously, picture the scene in your mind's eye. I am mid-coitus, drunk out of my mind, vomit on my breath, on top of a girl I just met 6 hours ago, her dog under the bed loudly feasting on my barf. What the fuck? What would you do? What could I have done? When in doubt, just fuck harder. That's what I did. But it got better. I did manage to finish up, and we both fell asleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up to piss, and as I step off the bed, my foot lands directly in something mushy. Oh, man. There is only one thing that feels like that as it squishes through your toes. The lights were out, but there was enough glow from a street lamp coming through the window for me to clearly see doggy diarrhea all over the floor. I used the floor to wipe the shit off my foot, which left a huge brown streak on the eggshell white carpet. After playing hopscotch to get to and from the bathroom, I just went to sleep and pretended nothing was wrong. It's not my dog. Plus, she'll see the poop in the morning. She got up an hour later, maybe, and slept in the same shit I did. Oh, Tucker, you shit on the floor. Why did you do this? Well, he's probably jealous that you didn't get to sleep in your bed tonight. You never poop in the house. What's happened? She turned the lights on and sees the big streak of poop. So I say, How did he leave that huge shit streak on the floor? That's like 2 feet long. Oh my god, how did you do that, Tucker? Look at the floor. Bad dog, bad.
Tucker crawled up to her and gave her a few vomit-flavored licks in her face.
Okay, I forgive you, but you're still a bad, bad dog.
The next day, I got this email from her. I was being a good hostess because you're from out of town. But that is the drunkest I've ever been in my life, so I'm not counting anything that happened that night. Do I even need to translate that from Gaines speak to English? She didn't find the vomit, and of course I didn't tell her about it, so we ended up going out the next night. I asked her, so, was it fun cleaning up all that crap?
Ugh, what a mess. I had to buy all these cleaning supplies at Walgreens, and I scrubbed and disinfected and cleaned for 2 hours, and it still stinks in there.
Maybe he ate something. You should check the rest of the room. He might have crapped or vomited somewhere you didn't find. Dogs are weird like that. Quite the vacation. The story occurred May 2000 and was written March 2005. I don't know exactly how many girls I've slept with, but it's well into the triple digits. You start to forget a few last names somewhere in the 30s, some first names somewhere around the 60s, and entire girls altogether somewhere around the 90s. But no matter how much or how many you fuck, some girls are just unforgettable. This particular girl, Candy, I met while working in Cancun. I was so busy fucking her sorority sisters, I didn't hit on her until the day before she left. But she was having none of me. I figured she disrespected herself and didn't want to fuck someone like me, so I was kind of surprised when she asked for my number the day before she left. I gave it to her and didn't think twice about it until 2 months later when Candy called and wanted to come visit me. By that time, I had kind of forgotten what she looked like, so I was stoked when I picked her up at the airport, and she was even hotter than I remembered. Short and Vietnamese, but with just enough of the French rapist heritage coursing through her veins, she had that hybrid vigor hotness you really only see in mixed races. I was 24 at the time and still didn't know as much as I thought I did, so when on the ride back to my place she was very formal and quiet, I didn't understand what was going on. Why would this girl call me to come visit, knowing what I am like, and not be more into me? One of my roommates was home when we got to my place, so we had a few beers in the living room and talked. Well, my roommate and I talked, she just sat there and acted obsequious. Every time I tried to involve her in the conversation, she would briefly answer and then go back to her beer. I've seen kidnapping victims be more social with their captors. Then my roommate left for the gym. As soon as the door closed behind him, I learned a very important lesson. Sometimes the quietest and meekest in public are the loudest and wildest in private. I mean, I knew this about women in an intellectual way, but the reality of this proverb never hit home with me until I found myself being nearly sexually assaulted by this girl who had said no more than 10 words over the past hour. Right after the front door clicked shut, she calmly put her beer down and then pounced on me like a jaguar. Since I have never had an Asian projectile fired at me, I wasn't sure what to do. She was literally jumping at me, but I was so shocked and totally taken by surprise that I put my hands up and kind of hit her, right in the face. I didn't mean to, but for a split second I thought she was trying to kill me. What would you think if some quiet Asian girl unexpectedly jumped at you? She was fine, and I tried to apologize, but I couldn't talk because she was kissing me so hard. Fuck it, if she didn't hurt, I'm not going to worry about it. Before that day, I thought I was aggressive and dominant in bed. That was before a 5'3" Vietnamese college girl turned me out. She wanted everything and she wanted it hard. I had it from the front, from the back, from the side, from underneath, from on top, diagonally, every way I thought possible, and then even learned some new positions. I honestly didn't even think the pile driver was possible for normal people. I was wrong. And no matter what I did, she wanted it harder and faster. So I put my dick in her ass. Not hard enough. I hit it harder. And harder. And harder. I hit it so hard I was hurting myself. It got to the point where I was fucking with so much force her booty was clapping like Madison Square Garden. The bed was chipping the paint off the wall, my hips were bruising as they slammed against her ass bones, and I was sweating like a migrant worker in a strawberry field. But it still wasn't enough. I fucked her in the ass with so much force it started to bleed. Not much blood, but enough that I had to get new sheets. She didn't care. She just took my cock out, put a new condom on, and threw it in her pussy. Then in her mouth. Then back in the ass again when it stopped bleeding. Unreal. I needed a few more dicks that weekend, because mine was just not enough. It got to the point where I had to schedule rest breaks, because she was shredding me. It was emasculating in a way. This little docile girl totally outfucked me. By the end of the weekend, after we had had sex some ridiculous number of times, and my balls were aching and my cock was raw, she was still horny, and would go down on my limp penis for like 5 minutes to get me hard. Then she'd mount me and impale herself on my cock like a jackhammer. I think I could have gone to sleep, and as long as I stay hard, I doubt she would have cared. I didn't fuck for like a week after she left. I was so tired. My dick was raw. That normally only happens when I'm blackout drunk and trying to jack off, which is a supremely bad idea. I saw scars on my back from her nails and rug burn on my knees from 2 days of violent sex with her. She left, and I told myself that was it. I couldn't handle another weekend of that, especially when it appeared she was just fine. Then I got the email. I still talked to one of her sorority sisters I had slept with in Cancun, and like a week later, she sent me this.
Do you remember that girl Candy? The quiet Asian girl in my sorority? She supposedly went home to visit her parents last weekend, but the day after she got back, she had to go to student health with female problems. Well, she always told us she's never had sex, and she wouldn't tell us what was wrong.